answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
NORAD was formed in 1958 in the Eisenhower administration, and during all of our time, from Eisenhower to Biden, not one president has ever had to defend America's airspace except President Biden, because it was violated. I don't want to over-dramatize it. The American people were not about to be killed by this. But the fact is, no other president had to deal with it. And he should forward. Standing next to him should be his Secretary of Defense and his Secretary of State, explaining to the American people what we know and what we don't know. And if we don't know everything, just tell the American people that. We can handle it.
We can handle it. I agree. That's retired General Jack King, chairman of the Institute for Study of War, also a contributor to Fox News. This is Feb 14, 2023. General King echoing what most of us are saying and are demanding. Where is the president on the balloon issue? He has yet to go public and make a full proclamation and statement about what we know or what we don't know. If there are things he cannot tell us for security reasons, that's one thing. But we all know about the damn balloon that went from one side of our nation to the other. And Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton is among those saying Biden needs to stand up and speak.
The American people deserve an explanation from the president about exactly what he thinks these objects were and why we shot them down just a week after letting a obvious Chinese spy balloon fly all across America. I mean, Justin Trudeau gave that to the people of Canada last week when an American aircraft downed one of these objects over Canada. Surely, Justin Trudeau is not a more decisive and stronger leader than American president. I hope that's not the world in which we're living.
Yeah, but I'm afraid it probably is. Although Justin Trudeau might have been quicker to act after the balloon had crossed our continent. Yeah, we had three more shot down. I mean, they're shooting any balloon in the sky, it looks like now. My God. Your kids' balloons get released on Valentine's Day, they might be shot down. And Senator John Kennedy, Louisiana, says, we have all these intel agencies stacked on top of intel agencies, and I'm beginning to get the impression that maybe our intel is not so intelligent.
We have, I think, 17 intelligence agencies, the CIA, the FBI, the National Security Agency, tens of thousands of employees. The Director of National Intelligence coordinates all that. She is a cabinet level officer. She needs to come brief the United States Congress, and then she and President Biden need to talk straight to the American people.
That
and
would
just
be
answer,
nice.
Just answer basic questions. And they haven't done that. And that's the reason we have unity and confusion. It's real simple. Who's doing this? What are these objects? What's the threat to the American people?
That's the key. What's the threat to the American people? And you deserve an answer. There's no doubt the balloon that crossed our nation coming in through Montana all the way to the Carolinas, not being shot down because they feared it might rain debris down on those below, shot down only after it got over the Atlantic, just off the Carolinas, down in about 47 feet of water. And yet some debris might have fallen into the Carolinas anyway. But we had it. We had it noted and spotted by NORAD off the coast of the Aleutian Islands in Alaska when it was still over water, and we took no action then. Who's asleep at the switch? And then when you look at how this president has handled it and what he's had to say, or more accurately, what he has not been saying. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas again said, you look at this president and you compare how he's handling things compared to Ronald Reagan.
The president needs to come forward on camera speaking directly to the American people, stop sending out mouthpieces and anonymous sources. You know, it reminds me of the time when Ronald Reagan spoke to the American people just days after Soviet Russia shot down a Korean Airlines flight, or George H.W. Bush spoke to the American people a couple days after Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. In these kind of moments, the American people deserve to hear from the president, not from mouthpieces and press secretaries.
And you know what? I think at this point, I'm going to say I believe Obama would have already stepped forward and made a statement. You heard Senator Cotton refer to Reagan and what happened in September 1983. That was a Korean Airlines flight 007 on a flight from New York City to Seoul via Anchorage, Alaska. It made a stop in Alaska, then took off for Seoul. On board, you had passengers in first, business class, added crew, but we also had U.S. Congressman Larry McDonald from Georgia. He was on board. And the Korean airline pilots apparently got confused, and they wandered into Soviet airspace, and the Soviets did not hesitate. And Ronald Reagan, within days, was addressing the American people.
Fellow Americans, I'm coming before you tonight about the Korean Airline massacre, the attack by the Soviet Union against 269 innocent men, women, and children aboard an unarmed Korean passenger plane. This crime against humanity must never be forgotten, here or throughout the world. Let me state as plainly as I can, there was absolutely no justification, either legal or moral, for what the Soviets did. One newspaper in India said, if every passenger plane is fair game for home air forces, it will be the end to civil aviation as we know it.
That was Ronald Reagan, September 1983. Now, again, that was not over our territory. It was over the Sea of Japan. And the Soviets at first denied they shot it down, saying, no, we didn't. Then they said, well, we fired warning shots and continued. And then they unleashed a missile on it. U.S. Congressman Larry McDonald of Georgia was on board. Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina, Senator Sims of Idaho were in a plane trailing them by about 15 minutes. The Soviets also claimed former U.S. President Nixon was seated next to Larry McDonald, or should have been, but the CIA warned him, don't go in that plane, as if it were going to be a spy plane. That's never been confirmed one way or the other. Coming up in this edition of Larry Connors USA, Nikki Haley announcing she is running for the White House. She is going to challenge Trump as it stands right this moment. And also Fred Flights, former CIA analyst, and his view of the China balloon. We've got a lot to cover. You don't want to go anywhere. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we haven't had on for a while, so I'm glad to have him back. Fred Flights, Vice Chair of America First Policy Institute for American Security. The mission, America First, always advancing policies, benefiting all Americans. But the background of Fred Flights is what really brings him to the stage for us, because he's extremely steeped in knowledge of reference of Intel, serving on various committees and with the Department of Defense and Intel from time to time. And Fred, I had your full Here it is. I apologize. Previously serving as Chief of Staff and Executive Secretary of the National Security Council during the administration of Donald Trump, in addition to being a former CIA analyst. Fred Flights, glad to have you on board, sir.
Good to be here, Larry. And now I can tell you I am a balloon expert.
Good. Well, we'll get you for the next kids' party. You can blow the balloon. Can you make me a bicycle? Hey, before we actually get into the actual details of the balloon, what it's doing and so forth, let's begin with the messaging to the American public. Before you joined us, I ran a clip of Senator Kennedy saying our intel agencies aren't really giving us intel. Senator Cotton has said the same. A couple of Democrats have said the same. And I also referenced Ronald Reagan when the Soviets shot down a Korean airliner with a civilian airliner. He immediately went on air and gave the American public the story of what was happening. What we're having here from Biden is he keeps sending out all these mouthpieces and they're not saying anything anyway.
It's frustrating. And I saw an interview with John Kirby over the weekend, and he said, it could be that these balloons are legitimate. And he said, well, we're finding more balloons because we're looking for more balloons. And this has led me to conclude, and I don't say this facetiously, that the White House said to the military, find us some balloons that Biden can shoot down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was hurt so badly by the way he mishandled the first balloon. Now we see it now seems to be shoot down the balloon and ask questions later.
That's kind of the same statement from House Intel Committee Chairman Mike Turner, Republican Ohio, said we're using the rationale now, according to Defense Secretary Austin, for shooting down these balloons, the last three that we should have used on the first one.
I mean, it's hard to see that how that can't be the case. And, you know, this isn't that difficult. The administration could say, well, you know, we weren't aware China had this vast spy network of balloons. And look, the U.S. uses balloons, too. They're actually fairly valuable spy platforms because they can hover over a certain location. They can vacuum up material. They're at lower altitudes. They really didn't seem to know what to do with this first giant balloon that was at such a high altitude. And part of it was Biden was really obsessed with getting Anthony Blinken to China, where his primary objective was negotiating a climate change agreement.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. Now, and you mentioned, and again, the messaging game between the departments, the Department of Defense giving one story, the Pentagon giving another, the White House giving another. From one of them, I can't recall which one, they acknowledge, we know they have a fleet of these balloons, that they knew China had these, whether or not they're being used. And then they start saying, well, we had some pass off our coast. They want to claim it over actual land, not maybe inside our territorial waters of Texas, of course, a red state, and Florida, another red state, during the Trump administration. In other words, Trump is responsible again.
It's just amazing. Trump seems to be responsible for everything. That's the main response to anything that happens. It happened all the time. It was a Trump failure. This administration doesn't take responsibility for anything. But the funny thing is, I've done a bunch of interviews, and people said, well, maybe this is a distraction, so people won't focus on the administration's other problems and policy failures. I don't think so. You can see how upset the administration was that all the reporters are yelling at Biden one question. What about the balloon? Tell us about the balloon. He hasn't been able to get his agenda out. He can't blame the nation's problems in the Republican House because this is all the media wants to talk about.
And of course, I will say they're have a softball lob for them that if you're going to blame Trump, well, there's a lot of hot air that could have gone into those balloons. But the other point, though, when we break down, and again, based on your former CIA analyst experience and on the National Security Council, what's going on the inside behind the curtain if they're actually doing their job?
I think they're really floundering because I believe a lot of national security experts know that this was an overreaction, that a lot of these balloons are legitimate.
Which one's overreaction?
I think the last three, the last three that were shot down. The first one they should have shot down when it was over Alaska.
Right.
And that some of these balloons are permitted to be there under international treaty. Some of them may be American. Some of them may be American scientific balloons or weather balloons. And it looks like we're in an awful hurry to shoot them down.
And what about the one over Lake Huron? We hear now that the pilot missed, apparently, on the first shot with a sidewinder. Can you explain that?
I haven't served in the Air Force. I can't say. These are awfully small targets. But, I mean, I understand that missile cost $400,000 and it missed.
And they don't generate heat either, which it might have been seeking. But then, of
that's
course,
right.
And
yeah.
then, of course, where did it go?
Well, I hear it dropped to the bottom of the lake, and supposedly it's not any type of a threat, that it's inert. Congress has a lot to investigate here.
If China is doing this, you mentioned that, and we know they have satellites, we do too. The difference between the balloon and the satellite is what? That it is, supposedly some of these satellites can pull out a license plate number from space. I don't know if that's science fiction or they could be that detailed. So if they can come anywhere near that, why a balloon?
Well, satellites are in orbit. They do not violate territory. They don't violate sovereignty. Balloons do. Balloons go into a nation's territory. Right. They're violating their territory.
But what intel?
And they could collect the same information, but the difference is they're over the target for a longer period of time.
Okay.
They can gather a lot more electronic data. They could have, I would think that a high capability camera on a balloon might even be better than a satellite. But I work with someone in the government who is an expert in military balloons, and he wants the U.S. military to use more of them.
Oh, really? And where would we be deploying them?
Well, I mean,
and obviously I don't want to get you in trouble with your source, but I mean, if we're going to be using them, obviously we must be putting them in places where we're not allowed to be. Is that right?
For example, if let's say the Russians and the Chinese are going to have a joint military exercise in the Pacific, it wouldn't surprise me if we put up a spy balloon near their ships in international territory to just hang out there and take pictures and gather signals. That might be an application for such a thing.
Now, a couple other things. One, we're talking about these balloons might be weather, might even be U.S. weather, but basically the Meteorological Association has its own network and communicating supposedly with our government when they are releasing weather balloons, so they know where it is, and they would be either make sure they're out of flight patterns. The last couple have been apparently around 20,000 feet, well within range of an American jet, passenger jet. So that is a threat if it's not known and the pilots are notified in advance.
Well, we've been given that explanation. We don't know that it's true.
Yeah.
That they were a risk to civil aircraft. We have to have Congress look into that. This administration gives a lot of explanations that are pulled later and proved not to be true. I've heard that. I don't know if that's true.
Well, as a pilot, I would agree if you got a balloon at 20,000 feet and you don't know it. For instance, if you're coming up across the Gulf or in some of the areas, they have tethered balloons that are trying to intercept drug runners. So you have on your maps, you know, there's a balloon in this area, so you're advised to stay cleared, not only the balloon, but the tether that links it to the ground. The other question, mm-hmm. though, Fred, is when we're talking about the intel and the gathering of it, the other day, Defense Secretary Austin had said, when they were talking about the first balloon that crossed, he said, over Whiteman Air Force Base and over our silos across the nation, we button communications down in case they might intercept or pick up something. When he said we buttoned down, does that mean they really didn't have any way to talk to each other and that we basically isolate ourselves from ourselves because of the balloon?
The secure communications aren't an issue because assuming that China could pick up encrypted communications, they can't break them. But unsecure communications are still very valuable for intelligence purposes. Cell phone communications, communications by normal telephone, because they give you pieces you can use to figure out what the U.S. military is up to. And my guess is that when they said button down, that's what they were talking about.
So at this point, and again, based upon your years as a CIA analyst and then most recently a National Security Council executive secretary, are we doing anything right?
Well, I think that the administration learned from the first balloon. They were caught off guard, and that's not going to happen again. And I think a lot of good can come of this. I was very encouraged by the large number of Democrats who voted for the creation of the Special Committee on China. And I think with that, and then this Chinese balloon, a lot of the eyes of many Americans have been opened to the threat from China. So in a strange way, this may have been a good development, because this isn't fanaticism. It's a real threat, and I think we're going to get Americans to focus on it.
In our last minute, you're an expert also on the nuclear treaty Obama signed. It wasn't really a treaty with Iran. They were going to let them build nuclear weapons, and they want to reopen those again.
It just seems like no matter what Iran does, the administration will never give up its goal of getting another nuclear deal. And I think it's because they're angry that Trump pulled out of Obama's deal. But with Iran selling weapons to Russia to attack in Ukraine, and Russians assisting, there are Russians advising the Iranians on how to put down and persecute protesters. It's just outrageous that we would be pursuing this, but that's just where we are.
Yeah, that and climate change are the two top agendas. I want to thank you very much for your time. I know you get a lot of national requests, and we appreciate you sharing time with my audience.
You are always at the top of my list, Larry.
Oh, thank you, Fred. You too, sir. Happy Valentine.
Take care. Happy Valentine.
Did you get my card? Did you get my card?
I didn't. Send balloons next time.
Okay. Fred Flights, former CIA analyst and now serving as the vice chair of the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security. Boy, do we need American security at this point. Not only an expert in his knowledge, but as a great way of explaining it. Fred Flights. It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. John Beal is a roofing company trusted all over the Midwest, but also has a national reputation. John Beal is an Owens Corning Platinum contractor. Less than 1% of roofing contractors in the nation meet that professional standard. Now, that's pretty amazing. But John Beal also guarantees you the lowest price. John Beal Personal Service, always going above and beyond. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times. Anytime, you got to call me.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So while we're waiting to see what the Biden administration is or is not going to tell us, and if Biden himself will be involved in telling us about these balloons, the one in particular that went all the way across our nation, here's another case of China's efforts to step up any kind of activity they can. Let me put it bluntly, trying to basically create a case for violence or attacks. 6 days ago, the Philippine Coast Guard was operating in part of the South China Sea, and they were operating in a part near the Philippines. And they'd won a landmark international arbitration case against China claiming it back in 2016, but China, it just ignored the ruling. Well, what stinking ruling? We don't need no ruling. So the Philippine Coast Guard is operating in those waters 6 days ago. And they said they suddenly got hit by a powerful laser, blinding some of the crew, at least temporarily. That was an active act of intervention. They were within proper waters, the Philippine Coast Guard. China just didn't like it. So they took that action. I'm going to have on the show tomorrow Gordon G. Chang, expert on China. And I'm looking over some of the recent tweets he's put out in reference to the balloon situation and China in general. And he's often been sounding a warning that people need to wake up. China is bigger and badder than you've estimated. And we have gotten ourselves too entrenched with them. We rely on them for pharmaceuticals. We rely on them for this and that. And we should have shut that off a long time ago. Just as we told the European Union, do not commit yourself to Russia for fuel, because there'll come a day that they'll shut the line down. Gordon just tweeted out recently, China is not capable of dealing with other nations in good faith. And that's evident from the Chinese spy balloon event. And he adds, China is our enemy. That's what the communists call us. We cannot save our country if we do not acknowledge what that regime is saying and doing. And then he added, always remember what is important and be prepared to defend it. And then he added another one, pray now. Those are good words to keep in mind, and Gordon will join us tomorrow. You don't want to miss Larry Connors, USA, 6 o'clock daily report tomorrow. Florida Governor DeSantis is moving for legislation in his state that would block the environmental social governance banking in his Sunshine State, ESG banking. He was speaking behind a sign that read, government of laws, not woke politics. He said the elites are trying to push us into woke banking. He said they want to make us energy independent. No, they want to take us away from that. They want us to be their hostages to get energy. The same thing we were just warning Europe about against Russia. The same thing Gordon G. Chang is warning us about dealing with China. He points out it's bad for our national security to get involved with this ESG stuff, and we're going to put a stop to it here in the state of Florida. And he's urging other governors around the country, Republican or Democrat, let's band together and fight against this so we can keep power for the people, for Americans. And, of course, many are asking, is DeSantis going to run? When is he going to announce it? That's the bigger question. No doubt he's going to run, but when? Under what conditions? Well, today, a new candidate did enter the White House race, another Republican. So you got Donald Trump, who announced first, and then as expected, on this Valentine's Day, we had Nikki Haley step forward and say, I'm in.
Some people look at America and see vulnerability. The socialist left sees an opportunity to rewrite history. China and Russia are on the march. They all think we can be bullied, kicked around. You should know this about me. I don't put up with bullies. And when you kick back, it hurts them more if you're wearing heels. I'm Nikki Haley, and I'm running for president.
I got to admit, I do love that line from Nikki Haley. It's going to hurt worse if I'm kicking back and I've got heels on. So Nikki Haley today announcing she is going to run for president. Previously, she had said, if I do, it's only after consulting and talking to Donald Trump, and if he's running, I probably won't. Well, that's all out the window now. She is, of course, the first female governor of South Carolina from 2011 to 2017, and then Donald Trump appointed her as our U.S. ambassador to the U.N. I thought she did an excellent job. But right now, she's seeing how the Republican Party stands, and she sees some flaws that she thinks it's time for a change.
Republicans have lost the popular vote in 7 out of the last 8 presidential elections. That has to change. Joe Biden's record is abysmal, but that shouldn't come as a surprise. The Washington establishment has failed us over and over and over again. It's time for a new generation of leadership to rediscover fiscal responsibility, secure our border, and strengthen our country, our pride, and our purpose.
Now, it's hard to argue against anything she said. A lot of folks are saying, well, if Trump made her VP candidate, then that'd be a great team. And it might well be. It might end up being that. But right now, she's going forward. The reaction, Wall Street Journal points out, Haley betting on the GOP wants a new face, a new direction for 2024. CNBC, Nikki Haley enters race for president as first major challenger to Trump. Washington Post analysis, Nikki Haley's astute, doomed assessment of American politics. I'm not so sure that's about all American politics or where the Republican Party is, or maybe it's involving all of it. Partly it's going to be your perspective. Do you think she would make a good candidate? Your listings, that music you were hearing is all part of her speech announcing that she's running. It's all built upon a little bio she put together. And in that, she also pointed out how America differs from other countries, and then also talks about her own past.
The railroad tracks divided the town by race. I was the proud daughter of Indian immigrants. Not black, not white. I was different. But my mom would always say, your job is not to focus on the differences, but the similarities. And my parents reminded me and my siblings every day how blessed we were to live in America.
To live in America. She's right about that. When we come back, I want you to hear a little bit more from her, because to live in America, that's what a lot of people are forgetting nowadays. Those who complain and have issues with America and our past, and yes, we have a scarred past. We have flaws. We're still trying to become a more perfect union. But the issue we've faced with too many people, they don't recognize, they don't appreciate what they have here. Trump has made it very clear as well numerous times, but I want you to hear it direct from Nikki Haley as to how she says those Americans who are complaining should be thanking God they are here. Stand by, please.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Some look at our past as evidence that America's founding principles are bad. They say the promise of freedom is just made up. Some think our ideas are not just wrong, but racist and evil. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have seen evil. In China, they commit genocide. In Iran, they murder their own people for challenging the government. And when a woman tells you about watching soldiers throw her baby into a fire, it puts things in perspective. Even on our worst day, we are blessed to live in America.
Again, that's Nikki Haley as to why you should be so glad you live in this country. Yes, I am, and I hope you are too. I know you are. Well, this is Valentine's Day, and just ahead of Valentine's Day, the Survey Center on American Life did a survey and found that Republican men and women are significantly happier in marriage than their Democrat counterparts, and they say it possibly due to liberal women just not satisfied with things at the house. That means if wife ain't happy, neither is husband either, right? And there's another survey, this one from the Survey Center on Americans' Life, found that not believing in God appears to be a greater liability in dating. But when it comes to marriage, believing in God appears to be better for the couple. I hope you are enjoying the Valentine's Day, and you have. But the thing you should take away from both of those studies, God does have an effect upon a life. Our pledge, one nation under God.